Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fresh from the Hill, Inside Stories of Noteworthy Cornellians. I'm your host for this series of episodes, Yasmin Almedine, class of 2016. So I'm here with Michael Charles. He is the class of 2016. Welcome, Michael. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Yas.
So tell us a little bit about your time before Cornell. Where did you grow up? How did you decide to apply and then start Cornell?
Sure. So I grew up mostly in Colorado, from basically the Southwest, the Four Corners area. I have family kind of spread out across Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado. So I kind of grew up around that area. And in high school, I went to a small private school in Longmont, Colorado. Had a graduating class of about 18 students. And
wow.
Yeah, it was very tiny. Not really sure. I actually don't really remember how I ended up applying to Cornell. I do remember.
That's good. That's important.
It is important. So I'm Native American. My family's from the Navajo reservation. And what I heard, we had a lot of family who went to Dartmouth, and I heard that they had a very good program for American Indian. And so I was looking to apply. I just kind of assumed I would apply to Dartmouth. And I think Cornell had a recruitment or outreach program that they did with Dartmouth, Northwestern, and Vanderbilt. And they came out to Denver and had a few recruiters. And that's how I ended up on like a mailing list for Cornell. And then I went and did a tour around the Northeast of some schools I was looking at. And I mostly did the whole trip to go check out Dartmouth, but I wanted to do engineering, and I wasn't as impressed, I guess, with the engineering program at Dartmouth as compared to Cornell. And I think the only reason I even added Cornell to the trip was because I was still on their mailing list and kept getting letters. So I was like, okay, we'll add it to the list. So I ended up applying to Cornell and ended up actually looking to go play football for a school in Indiana at Rose Holman, a technical university. And when I was coming back from that recruitment trip, I ended up with like an acceptance letter from Cornell. And that's kind of how I ended up there, kind of by chance.
That's so cool. Then tell us about your time at Cornell. I know you did a bunch of various things on campus. What were some of the highlights?
Yeah, I was all over campus. I went to school to study chemical engineering. My only really basis for picking the major was that someone told me it was hard, and I thought school was pretty boring up until then because it wasn't challenging. So I went with chemical engineering. I really enjoyed the introduction class. That's why I stuck with it. But throughout my process, ended up getting into a lot of other organizations. I worked a lot with the American Indian community. I lived at Oguego for my first 2 years, mm-hmm. their Native American program house. I ended up doing a music minor, was very involved in the Cornell jazz program, ended up walking on to play sprint football my last couple years. And yeah, I guess I just really enjoyed my time. I took a lot of fun classes. I know my senior year I took drawing because I had a friend tell me I should take it. He ended up dropping it, but I stuck with it, and it was a blast. I think in general, I found a lot of things to do outside. And I, as much time as I spent in Olin Hall and working on chemical engineering, problem set, design, and everything like that, I really did find a lot of time to go do other things that I really, really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you were involved in sports and wanted to kind of stay active at Cornell. What was your experience like with the sprint football team?
Yeah, so I kind of heard about this opportunity from people within the fraternity I was in, and a lot of them have played this sport, sprint football, that happens at Cornell, and you have to be under a certain weight, and you had to cut down to 172 pounds, unless you were already under that, but I wasn't. I wasn't very close either. So I decided I wanted to kind of walk on and try. And so I spent basically 9 months cutting weight to get under 172 pounds. And I think I lost about 25 pounds and just was like felt like I was dieting forever. But I ended up not even being able to make it. I got down and the dietitian, who works with the wrestling players basically said like your body fat limit is getting too low and it's like becoming unsafe. And so I felt very, very, very discouraged being putting so much effort into trying to just play and make this team, and just not being able to make the simple requirement that made me eligible. In a lot of ways, it felt like I failed and that I couldn't participate, but it ended up being a big, almost a blessing that I ended up still, I kind of reframed my mind about how I even engage with sports in general. And I think a lot of that went back to even in high school. I ended up breaking my ankle my senior year, kind of the big moment that I had been building up to, and had to miss more than half my last season. And a lot of it was, that was a lot of how I defined myself, I think, up until that point was I'm a person who's able to play these sports and that's kind of who I am. But it reminded me that like our bodies, you know, can break down. Sometimes we can't just be defined by what we do, but who we are. And I think that kind of came back to me as a reassurance lesson at Cornell when I couldn't make the sprint football team based on weight. But I kind of remembered that, like, I just, you know, football is supposed to be there as something that's fun, that I engage with, that just makes me happy. And so I ended up still playing with the team, and just never could actually participate in the games, but I went to every practice, went to all the games and just got to play and continue putting on pads and play the sport that made me happy. So I just stuck with it and I had a good time kind of getting into that community. And once they were my teammates, I just decided to stick with it, even though I wouldn't be eligible to play.
No, that's such an important lesson. So thanks for sharing that story.
Of course.
So you mentioned you not only were a chemical engineer major, but you were a music minor. So do you want to share with us how music played a part of your Cornell experience?
Absolutely. I played a lot in high school and I loved big band and jazz. And a lot of that was my grandpa actually getting me into that type of music. So I was in some traveling jazz bands in high school and I got a chance to record a couple albums. And so I knew I wanted to make that a big part of my experience at Cornell. And I was actually worried that I wouldn't take time to practice if I didn't put it in my schedule. So that's why I ended up auditioning for a band and also did the minor, was that at least then it was on my schedule and I had a commitment to it because I knew it would help me keep that balance and give me that part of my life that's really important to me. And I wasn't sure once I got into the mix of the curriculum that I would keep up with my music as much as I wanted to. So I ended up, I think it was before classes even started, during orientation week, I think is when I auditioned, but they had a few, kind of open mic type things for jazz musicians. And it was, I think it was up in the, right in the courtyard of Balch. And they just kind of set up instruments. They said, bring your own instrument and come play. And it was, I think, my second, third day on campus. And my roommate actually was a drummer. So we both went down and we actually got to play some jazz tunes together. And it was a super fun time. And then I showed up to the audition the next day and made one of the big bands. So I got to play some big band music. And then I played in a jazz combo, which was a very, very great experience just to kind of make sure you're still playing. And they kind of, my last couple of years, they did these jam sessions on Sundays and you get free, basically a free meal at the dining halls as long as you came and brought an instrument and played. It's just a lot of fun to make sure that kind of stayed within, I guess, important in my life. And when I moved to Columbus, I don't play jazz as much because I don't play with a group, but I play guitar and I sing. And so I go to a lot and I play a lot of open mics and bars around Columbus. And it's been great to kind of meet a music community here. And I've gotten kind of pulled into other jazz groups and just invited to go play in other shows that are just kind of bring your instrument, show up and play. And it's probably the least organized it's been in my life right now, but music still plays a big role in making sure that at the end of the day, I still have something else to do besides just my work as a chemical engineer or work within my community. It just keeps me happy and sane, and I love it.
That's great. That's amazing. Can you talk about, I guess, the value of doing that? Like, you were in a really challenging major, but you made time to do all these different sports and arts and all these things. Yeah, what was the value, if you could give advice to current Cornell students?
Yeah, the value for that was really all the other skills, things that like you don't get out of your major. And your major is really just a curriculum that's really focused in that area. And I think what I learned was how to balance my time once I graduated, right now I'm in a PhD program and I'm still very involved in a music scene here in Columbus, Ohio, and still playing rugby. Very much enjoy moving and playing sports. And so I think it really just teaches you how to make time and not really just kind of focus in and get sucked into one thing. But I think it teaches you a lot of things. And it really, I think in the end, really keeps you sane when like you're struggling in one area, you have a lot of other things that are still flourishing and kind of keeping you happy. And it really helps you get through the more struggling moments in your program.
Yeah, for sure. That's such a great piece of advice. And can you talk about your experience? You said you were involved in like the kind of Iguego and all of that part of Cornell, and that kind of also interested you when you were applying to colleges. What was that like at Cornell?
Yeah, so the American Indian community was always very important to me, just being around other Native people. And I think it's really what made Cornell home for me in my first couple of years, mm-hmm. especially as I said, I went to a really small school with only 18 students. So coming to Cornell my first year, I remember sitting in my general chemistry lecture, and there's like two stories in that building. So my lecture hall, I think there was like 500 people in the class with almost 1,000 people total, because there's two separate lectures. And I just had never really experienced that. So having a community that was, Guego only houses about 25 to 30 people. So having that community was very important, just to kind of get acclimated to Cornell. And yeah, I think, and it was awesome that like my roommate also was Native and ended up being a good friend of mine all 4 years. And we just kind of got to explore what it's like to come from small communities together and really do that from day one. I think something also very unique about having that experience living there was one of the first languages I actually heard on campus was my traditional language, Diné or Navajo. And it was another Navajo girl who was moving in, and her dad and my dad kind of just looked at each other and just started speaking in Navajo before I even really heard English being spoken on campus.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's very, very welcoming. And it was like, it was a great way to get used to a very different environment.
Yeah, for sure. So how was, I guess, your transition from Cornell to the real world? I know you mentioned you were doing a PhD in chemical engineering, and you're still really active in American Indian community like afterwards. What are you up to now?
Yeah, so right now I'm, as you mentioned, doing my PhD in chemical engineering. I'm focusing in sustainable process design and working in a lot of kind of sustainability and theoretical concepts around sustainable design. How I really came to that whole area was through trying to really figure out how my culture and my background in chemical engineering really had any connection. Instead of trying to do everything separately, it's always, in my opinion, best to bring your whole self to everything you do. So I was really, I think throughout my 4 years of Cornell, that's something I really learned, and I learned more about was how to kind of bring all these different parts of my life together. And I think right now it's doing the work that I do in my program. And yeah, the transition, I guess, from Cornell, I think for me the most important thing was, again, trying to find that community that made Columbus feel like home. And that's the first place I always look, is trying to find a Native community. Just that's how I grew up and where I'm from. And so I got involved with the ACES, which is the American Indian Science and Engineering Society, was one of the big organizations I was involved with at Cornell. So I just kind of immediately plugged into the chapter at Ohio State, and from there evolved and now work with the Native American Indian Center of Central Ohio, NACO. It's been a really enjoyable process to kind of meet new communities here and kind of develop that home base again. Also, I found that community in rugby and just kind of ended up running into some people on the team, decided, yep, that sounds good to me. I'll play a new sport and Yeah, for me, it's always been about community, the best part of any transition. And so, yeah, here I am. I'm in the middle of my third year now. And yeah, I guess the transition was, I think in terms of like the workload and getting used to a graduate program, I was almost surprised how much more time I had after leaving Cornell, but it was mostly because of not necessarily just the schoolwork or coursework, but just getting started into a new community. It's hard to, I think the hardest part is really finding other uses of your time and how to really plug in and start engaging with other people.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess what would you say to Cornellians who are considering doing graduate school or doing a PhD? Would it be kind of like trying to plug into a community there? What are your pieces of advice there?
Yeah, I would definitely say find the right community find people to who kind of make that place or the new school feel like home, because when the work gets challenging, kind of as I mentioned before, it's always nice to have that community around you to support you, to help you, give you things to do and really find other ways to, I guess, just do things in life that's just outside of your program. And I think that's been the most helpful thing. The other thing is just be completely confident in what you learned at Cornell. What we learn is very, it's meant to prepare us for this next step, especially mm-hmm. in academia or in graduate school. And having that confidence that you're in the right place is very helpful.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's so true. So you've been up to really cool things. Like, can you share with listeners about kind of your experience at the UN Climate Talks?
Of course, yeah. So I've gotten the privilege to work and negotiate on international climate politics. I work with the International Indigenous Peoples Forum on Climate Change. And I really, the first reason I ever even started getting into this work was kind of just sitting at my desk in Columbus, Ohio, my first year of my PhD, and watching things unfold at Standing Rock, and how there was a lot of people able to be there and long-term camp out and show their kind of support for that Indigenous community. And it was really at an international scale of people who were coming and staying at that camp. And I felt very, not necessarily trapped, but I just couldn't figure out what my role was as an Indigenous person in sustainability, very concerned and about climate change and the impacts on our peoples. But I think I was still trying to figure out what could be my role and how can I make change in this issue. And for me, I found an opportunity like within that like next week to go apply to be part of a U.S. youth delegation to go to the COP, which is the Conference of Parties, which is the main UN climate negotiations. And I decided that seemed like a good entrance because a lot of those places do value a degree that a lot of my relatives who are fighting this fight like don't necessarily have. Mm-hmm. So that was for me a way to kind of find my role, and through that it's given me a lot of I guess challenges and reality of what are these big issues. A lot of understanding of how it impacts Indigenous people across the world, but also a lot of hope. And I think a lot of that comes from just having that network of Indigenous people globally. It's a very unique place to be and getting to talk about issues and understanding really the connection between how do these impacts impact, how do like climate impact affect our communities up in the Arctic, and getting to speak with people from different regions of the world and understanding how that when their ice is melting, which brings a lot of issues in their safety, their hunting, the way that they actually traditionally know that land, how that water melting there is actually the same water that's causing big storms and sea level rise across the world for other Native Indigenous communities. And I think just kind of having that understanding and trying to understand how everything is connected is really different when you're exposed to kind of those global communities.
That's amazing. That's so incredible. So I guess you're doing all of these things. You talked about how you applied like what you were learning and kind of brought the confidence of the Cornell education to these scenarios right now in graduate school and real life. But how do you stay connected to Cornell or the Cornell community?
Yeah, I feel like my first year when I first got to Columbus, Ohio, I didn't know anyone, and I ended up taking a lot of trips back to Cornell just to, because a lot of my friends were still there. And
yeah, every weekend.
Every weekend, no. But yeah, physically going back has meant a lot to me. We stay very connected, I think, within my close friend group. You know this as well, Yasmin, but we are able to kind of set up trips and things almost every year, if not multiple times a year, to just kind of stay engaged with our friend groups. And I think those conversations and kind of catching up with everyone, seeing where everyone's at, is just as kind of motivating and encouraging and supportive as it was even back in college and while we had our time in Ithaca. But it's just always just such a blessing to come back together and catch up with people, but just kind of constantly be encouraged in your own work, just through the people that you know and what work they're doing out there in the world. And I think that's what's really unique about Cornell as a university, is it brings together a lot of people with strong minds and developing, I think, hearts, where we all kind of can come together and share our work and kind of inspire each other to go off into whatever direction we need to. And I think that still continues after we graduate.
Yeah, for sure. That was very well said. I completely agree. So, okay, my last question for you is, what is your favorite spot on Cornell's campus and why?
What is my favorite spot? I would say... I think just sitting on the slope. I think some of my favorite memories on campus were just kind of being on the slope, looking across West Campus and down into you can see the lake from there. I think it's just a beautiful spot to sit and take a breath. And I remember some of my busiest days where you're walking from class to class, not even sure you have time to even have time for lunch. I would just kind of go sit for 5 minutes out on the slope and just take a quick breath and kind of refuel and ground my mind a bit and get ready for the rest of the day. And I really enjoyed that. And I also remember when we would go and do the sunrise breakfast over in that area with you, Yasmin, and we would go, and then that way you could be the first one at the library. And that was
yeah. I forced a lot of my friends to eat breakfast on the slope, and then I would go to the Olin at 8 a.m. That's the backstory on that.
And then I would actually get more work done, which was good.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much for sharing, Michael, and thanks for talking all about your experience and thanks for being on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining and listening to that episode. If you enjoyed listening to me talk, you can check out my other podcast, Witty, Women in Tech Talk to Yas, where I share stories of women disrupting the technology industry. This podcast music was written, produced, and recorded by Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2013. You can contact him at koa3@cornell.edu. You can find out more about the show and ways to stay involved with Cornell at alumni.cornell.edu/youngalumni and on the Facebook page, Cornell Young Alumni Programs. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Fresh from the Hill on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast.